Welcome back to Following Noadon, a Stormlight podcast. Gentlemen, as this episode airs, 2 days ago, this podcast has turned 4 years old. Congratulations to both of you for being a podcast host for 4 years. Paul, how are you?
Great. 4 years and tons of fun. It's really crazy that it's been 4 years. I don't remember. I know we'll talk about this after, and we've already planned this as of like several, maybe months ago. Episode 200. This episode 199. And maybe we'll do more retrospect in episode 200. But I'm super grateful that we've gotten to do this. It's kind of crazy that we've been going through Sanderson Cosmere books for 4 years. We're not quite there yet.
With a three month break. But yes, four years pretty steady.
That's true.
And we still have four more books to go.
We will definitely be using those other 3 months. We will definitely make up that time and have at least 4 solid years under our belt of just catching up on Cosmere reading, which is pretty wild, but super great. Yeah, excited to talk about these books.
Elliot?
It is pretty crazy to think about. It's been 4 years since we hopped on a Zoom and chatted about Tom Bombadil for an hour just to see if this would work. And it definitely feels like it has worked. And a huge shout out to all of our listeners and watchers out there who stuck with us for 4 years. There's some of you guys who have been with us since day one, and it's been super cool to chat with you guys and share some of our experiences along with you guys and hear some of your stories about these books as well. It's been a ton of fun.
I agree. Today, we are discussing The Alloy of Law and Shadows of Self as a group book wrap-up. I didn't feel that they were long enough to warrant a full episode for each wrap-up, so we're going to kind of do both of them together. That said, let's roll intro, and then we'll jump right into ratings for these books. I'm going to give kind of like a general rating for myself, and if you guys want to give individual ratings, feel free to. Let's start with plot. I'll go first. I gave plot an 8 overall, the first two books. It's hard to, or for The Alloy of Law, I think it's pretty hard to knock the plot because it goes so fast that you don't get like bogged down anywhere. Like, the plot is mildly interesting. Like, if you were to dock it somewhere, maybe it's just not interesting enough. But the second book, if you read it too slow, it might. So some people dock the second book for like you're kind of running around in circles for too long. So if you spend more time on that, some people dock it for that. But overall, an 8. Paul, what about you?
So for the plot on this book, I kind of divided them up, but I gave both books an 8. And I have to say, until our previous episode, episode 198, I rated the second book specifically, Shadows of Self, I rated the plot as a 6. I did feel very run around, kind of like running in circles, like nothing super incredible. I actually rated this as a 6. And honestly, from our conversation, kind of fleshing out the story, fleshing out a lot of the dilemmas at hand and things in more detail, a lot of the kind of nuances of the psychology of a lot of the things going on, it actually kind of went up for me. I was able to kind of grasp a lot of the cleverness of what was going on. But I think as like a casual read through, the plot did not stand out to me in the second book. I did enjoy the first book, and I have them both at an 8 out of 10, which I think is respectable, but not my favorite, is kind of how I would synthesize that.
Elliot?
Very similar comments to exactly what Paul just said, with a slightly subjectively lower score, I kind of arrived at a 7 for a lot of the same reasons. I'd score both kind of in that category of 7, where I think what it did well. It had nuances to it. It had some tiebacks to Era One. It had some interesting storylines to follow. I was always wanting to know what was happening next. All those are, you know, in favor of these books. It didn't quite have maybe the depth or multifacetedness, if that's a word, that some of our other Sanderson stories might have. So definitely a solid, respectable 7.
I'm going to touch on something that you said in our general thoughts later. Let's move on to characters. I gave it an 8. I think the characters in these first two Mistborn Era 2 books are just all around solid. Like there's nobody I think that like super stands out, but they're solid Sanderson characters. Not too much more to say. Gave it an 8. Paul?
So my thoughts with my ratings for characters, I have the first book at a 7 and the second book at an 8. The only thing distinguishing them, in my opinion, is I think in Shadows of Self, we get a lot more varying character perspectives, and we get, which I'll talk about in Point of View briefly, and we have, I feel like we're starting to see the trajectory of our characters, whereas the first book, it felt like it was going to be kind of, I guess, more closed-ended. I think a lot of my ratings, as a preference for all my ratings for this book going forward, a lot of them are kind of stunted. It almost felt like middle book syndrome to me a bit. Not middle book syndrome, but we don't really end on a super conclusion. We end with a lot of questions and what's going to happen next with our characters. I think the characters were elaborated on well. So 7 and an 8 for that. But I think that there's a bit missing, I guess, for me.
For me on characters, I was actually torn on this category of scoring the most, because I think I really like this character writing in Era 2 so far. I think Sanderson is writing really unique characters. I think you can see what he's learned from previous books. He's really giving these characters their own unique feel in ways that he maybe hasn't done elsewhere, which I think is really good. I scored it a little bit lower with a 7 for both books because, and I think this is a personal preference thing, I like a longer form format to let me develop and discover those characters more. I think just because these stories are shorter, he does what he can do with the space he has really well. But it doesn't measure up to a character I've spent many more hundreds of pages with. There's more character depth. There's more relatability I can get to with a character in a longer story. So I almost feel like that's maybe a little unfair, but I'm sticking with it. I'd take a few points off of that to give him a 7 in both of these.
Elliot, correct me if I'm wrong, but I think this book or these two books would elevate drastically for you if you got 2 Lessie and Wax flashback chapters in the Roughs. Based on what you said last week, I think that would make the finale of the second book land way better for you, and yes, you'd spend a little bit more time with Wax that you want.
Yes.
All right. What about world building? I gave it an 8. I don't think it's Sanderson's best, but I don't think Sanderson's bad by any means, so 8.
So similar to what Elliot was saying, I don't know if I'm doing my best to be pretty objective with my ratings, but honestly, looking back at a lot of the ratings that we've had, I'm not saying this is an objective review of the book. I'm trying to keep this rating relevant within the other ratings that we've done on the podcast. So I gave world building a 7. I think Brandon Sanderson does an excellent job with his world building. Like from a writing standpoint, I think it is very good. The world itself is personally just not my favorite. This is not really necessarily my style. It's something that really grips me and interests me less so. So I didn't really. I guess maybe I docked a little bit for that, but that's not my only reasoning. I guess it's really is just kind of I haven't felt fully gripped by the world. You know, I feel like Roshar, I feel like Warbreaker is actually a really good example of one that, like, I'm just so curious to know how all this stuff works, how life works, how everything happens. I don't know. I don't think this is hurt by knowing what goes on in Era 1. I don't think so. But I do think that just kind of understanding the world and the cops and robbers type thing is just not really my favorite, I guess. So 7.
For me specifically, I want to know everything there is to know about Roshar. Like, there's something about Roshar that just hooks you in so well. And the Ars Arcanum for Shadows of Self, there's actually some really interesting things in it. I don't know if you guys read it or not, but just there's something about Scadrial, and I don't know what it is, that's just kind of flat to me, but it specifically in contrast to Roshar, there's just no comparison. Roshar is just so much better. What about you, Elliot?
I went with an 8 for both books on world building. I think he's done a lot of things really cleverly with the mix of a more modern setting, which we haven't really seen anywhere yet. Maybe a little bit of, I guess, Yumi. Yumi kind of took us there. But the way he's combined these very fantasy fiction magic systems with a more Western or industrial setting, I think it all works. And it works really well. I think that could have easily fallen really flat, been confusing. And it's not that at all. Maybe I'm actually very curious. I really want to talk to someone who's read Era 2 before Era 1, because I wonder if you need Era 1 for that to help. But make
they
it
do
work.
Exist.
I would love someone's perspective on that. If that kind of mix of things that maybe shouldn't work doesn't work for you if you read Era 2 first. But anyway, 8, because there's so many things that are done really well here. I just think, again, the shorter form of the book. I mean, we're talking about a 25% the length of a Stormlight with a book like this. It's less than, I think, even. You can't explore nearly as many world-building things as you can with a bigger book, and that doesn't quite scratch my itches as well. So 8 out of 10. Still very, very good.
I don't frequent Reddit very much or at all, but there was one post that was brought to my attention that somebody had not heard of Brandon Sanderson and picked up Shadows of Self as their first Sanderson book.
Gets
on Reddit and says, I loved this book, but it was clearly not where I was supposed to start. Where am I supposed to start? and so then everybody was like, how did that even happen? Like, how did you get Shadows of Self first? That, like, there was just a funny conversation back and forth. But so people who read Mistborn Era 2, they do exist. And I would actually maybe recommend that for some people who I know would put down Sanderson like forever if they were reading about Hemalurgy in Mistborn Era 1. But if they needed something lighthearted and guns and trains, then yeah, Mistborn Era 2, you're not going to get all the Mistborn Era 1 references, but you don't need to. Theme. Elliot, you just said something very interesting. With the page count that is available, a quarter, maybe not even a quarter, the length of a Stormlight book, like, obviously you're not going to get Dalinar speaking on the tower to his men at the end of the Way of Kings level of epic in the page count that you have. But in the page count that Shadows of Self has specifically, I think the themes that he pulls out of that book are incredible. And the groundwork that this kind of just blows my mind. The groundwork that he lays in Alloy of Law, not intending for it to be a series, is crazy to me. Like, how do you do these callbacks to a standalone book that is not intended to be a series, and then later you decide it's the series, and then you tag on to the first book? That's crazy to me. I gave Theme a 10 for Shadows of Self simply because of all the all of the questions that we talked about last week. There are so many really, really interesting moral dilemmas in 300 fast-paced pages. Like, I don't know how he could have done it better. I'll just say that. 10.
Okay. Theme is what I'm going to talk about the most out of my ratings. So I wrote down for these books. So I think I don't know that. Okay. I don't think I can rate the theme of these books fairly without looking them specifically in the scope of the entire series here. I feel like I can't. I don't think that the theme for me within Shadows of Self is going to be dependent on what happens somewhat in Bands of Mourning.
Okay.
I think it's set up well, so I'm going to give it an 8. I think it is set up well, but it is not sold for me with this book. I actually thought about lowering this further because it's not sold for me. I'm kind of assuming, because I trust Brandon Sanderson as an author, that the series themes are going to be really good and go very well. But I'm not convinced. On our outline sheet, I have Alloy of Law as a 7. Call me mean, but I'm doing this in respect to our others. Honestly, I hold Elantris as my top standard now for theme. That was my favorite book as far as themes go. I think it was excellent, and there were incredibly good themes all the way throughout.
That's crazy.
So I'm giving that's this crazy. Actually, I wrote down 7. I'm actually giving Alloy of Law a 6.
Okay.
None of the theme has stood out to me throughout these books. I think the end and what we talked about in the last episode really hit the point where it is coming to fruition. The theme is coming to fruition of this, notion of how will Wax Moot carry on. But like I said, I feel like this hasn't been fully fulfilled for me. So, I feel mean, but I just have to be honest about it.
A 6 until proven otherwise?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Elliot?
I love that you said that Elantris is your bar for theme. And I know Trevor and probably a lot of people out there are going to jump on you for that, but I actually have to echo that. If you go back to our Elantris episode, I gave Theme a 10 for Elantris because I actually really enjoyed what that book explored as well. Sticking with the theme of following after you, Paul, I scored these two books the same as what you initially were scoring them, but then you changed it on me and dropped it lower. I'm giving Alloy of Law 7 and Shadows of Self an 8. All the same positive things that you and Trevor are talking about. I think this book does bring up a lot of big questions. For me, I think I've talked about this on the podcast before for other books. Part of theme for me, and really the ultimate bar for what makes a book good, is does the book make me a better person? Does a book allow me to discover something about myself? That for me is part of the theme. If a book is going down paths where I can't relate to it, or the topics the book is talking about just aren't something that resonates with my own personal life, then it's going to score lower in theme. And this is kind of one of those books. There's definitely big questions here that I think do relate to me. There's other parts of it that just don't quite suck me in as much as I'm not quite wrestling with the same dilemmas that Wax is. I'm not quite feeling the emotions that he's feeling. I'm not quite fighting the same moral battles that he is. Still really good. Still lots of good questions to be asked. Not quite as impactful to me as others.
I went back to look because I was curious. Both of you gave Elantris a 10 for theme. I gave it a 9. So just for anyone's reference.
I absolutely stand by that. If you're not thrilled with my thoughts on these books, you're welcome to comment here or in our Discord. Happy to talk about it, but I will stand strong.
Roast him. Go.
Yeah. It's funny also because my point is 1 point lower than Elliot's. So it's not like I'm giving it like a 2 or something. Anyways.
For the final category, point of view, on Elantris was the lowest score I ever gave anything on a Brandon Sanderson book. I gave Elantris a 4 for point of view because I thought it greatly suffered by the format of said book. But for this one, I gave it an 8. I'm just rocking 8s today, I guess. I didn't think there was anything super outside of the box for Brandon Sanderson, except for we talked about this. There's this random scene where Wayne walks into a bar. Sounds like the beginning of a joke. Wayne walks into a bar and orders everybody a beer. You'll never guess what happens next. But he sets it up like a chapel scene, and it's not till like 3 paragraphs in that you realize he's talking about a bar. But anyway, that was the only like interesting thing that happened with point of view. That said, there's nothing wrong with Brandon Sanderson's format that he has besides Elantris. So, and Warbreaker. So 8 because it's great and I have no complaints, but nothing shined either. So 8. Paul?
I gave this lower than y'all a little bit. Well, I gave Shadows of Self an 8. I think the point of view of the characters that we have and the way that the story is told from a variety of perspectives and getting... I think it was good. I gave it an 8. I don't need to elaborate too much on that, I think. I gave Alloy of Law 1 point lower just because I don't necessarily think that's so much of the book's fault, but the way it was designed to basically be its own story, I feel like it just didn't allow as much room for extended and alternative points of view. So I just took another point off for that. So 7 and an 8.
Point of view is actually my highest category for both of these books. I gave it a 9 for each one. I thought, while it wasn't super unique, perhaps, aside from that one Wayne scene that you were talking about, Trevor, which is very almost out of place, I do think these books really shined in the way information was revealed, the way we were very much in the shoes of the characters and trying to solve the crimes along with them and struggling with, well, who are the bigger actors at play here? And what are the rules? Where's the magic? Where's the hemallergy? You know, all these kinds of things that we were discovering as our characters were, even with all of our prior Era One knowledge, which I thought was going to give us a bigger leg up than it did, perhaps. We kind of knew about allomancy, but there were still all these new ways to discover allomancy with guns and underwater submarines and stuff like that. It was, I don't know. It was unique enough for me to really appreciate the more kind of off the cuff delivery, the more kind of shooting loose and fast style of these books. It worked for me in a delivery sense. And I think I'm giving it points in the point of view category for that.
Okay. I'm about to talk myself into a hole here. What you just said kind of sparked something in my brain. And I know I just said that there was nothing crazy unique about the point of view, but I'm going to say the exact opposite of that. In a Stormlight book or in Mistborn Era 1, I feel like I am being told the story. In Mistborn Era 2, I feel like I'm being shown the story. And I don't know what that means exactly. Like, another way I could maybe describe it is when I'm reading a Stormlight book or when I'm reading a Mistborn Era 1 book, it feels like I'm in the third person. And I know that's not how... I'm not using that term correctly, but it feels like I'm above the scene watching it, whereas in Mistborn Era 2, I feel like I'm in the scene with the character. I feel like I'm in an action movie. And I don't know why I feel that way. Maybe you guys can help me, but there's something about Mistborn Era 2 that just feels way, way closer and way more physical. I'm kind of just throwing words out. Do you guys agree or disagree?
I think I might know why you're feeling that way. I think Mistborn Era 1, from the start, you are learning alongside the character, alongside Vin, about this whole magic thing, you know. Whereas here, you're kind of dropped into Wax's perspective and these characters' perspective who knows it and knows what's going on. And I feel like maybe it's more of a you're along for the ride with the crew versus you're a student, I feel like, approach. I could be totally... Okay. Guessing on that they could be totally off, but that's I feel like kind of the vibe you get. I feel like there's a little bit of an assumption that you can keep up with the magic going on when you start reading this series versus whenever you start reading Mistborn Era 1, they strictly explain how it all works and what all happens.
I think there's far fewer scenes where the characters sit down and dissect what's going on in okay. Stormlight and Era 1. You get scenes where two or three or four characters all sit down and have a discussion about what the heck is going on. Kelsier spends an entire chapter or two or three just explaining Allomancy to Vin. We get whole scenes in Stormlight of Jasnah and Dalinar and Navani and Shallan talking about strategy and what do we do and what's going on here? What have we learned so far?
With a map on the table, just talking about the state of the union. Yeah,
exactly. In Stormlight Era 2, we don't really get that. It's much more fast paced. They don't pause to figure it out. They just do. And that's very Wax and Wayne, right? They're doers. They just jump in and go. And really all you get for that kind of pause and reflect is maybe Marisi. And usually she's too introverted to even talk to anyone else about it. She just pauses and thinks, oh yeah, that does kind of work like that. And then that's important. And oh, bullets are flying. Okay, run. You know, that it's the pace of how our characters are reacting to the world.
I want to add one thing. So, sort of related. I'm looking at this. This is the most I've ever changed ratings on like live as I'm thinking through things, but my world building I had is a 7, and I actually want to change to an 8 for one specific reason. I'm going to up it by 1 because you know what is really neat that I just thought about? Mistborn Era 1, we have this whole setup, Allomancy, we know how it works, we know what a Mistborn is, we know how this all functions. We're dropped into Era 2, and you know, we're still holding out that there's probably a Mistborn out there, other stuff, but we're dropped in, and especially assuming if we had no prior knowledge of Era 1, this would be a completely different magic system at hand of this twinborn dynamic and all the combinations for that. I think is really unique and very clever to put a twist on the magic system for this next series, for Era 2. I feel like Brandon Sanderson could have just continued with how it was of there are mistings and sometimes Mistborn, just continued that and no one would have batted an eye, but I feel like he really put a clever twist on it as we started the series, and I think that is really neat. And so, I realize I feel like I did not provide, you know, I didn't really think of that, you know, but I think that's really clever. So,
yeah. I do think he missed the opportunity to call it the Twinborn series instead of Mistborn Era 2 series. Just saying. All right. This kind of feeds into my general thoughts of what I was just saying. Oh, my general rating was 42 out of 50 for both books. I don't know if you guys want to run through yours real quick.
I had a 36 out of 50 for Alloy of Law, which is among my lowest, if not my lowest. I think maybe that and Will of Ascension. And then I had a 40 out of 50 with the point I just threw in there for Shadows of Self.
And mine tally up to 38 and 39 for Alloy of Law and Shadows of Self, respectively, placing it pretty firmly in the middle between like a Mistborn Era 1 book, which is a few points lower, and a Stormlight, which is a few points higher.
My rating puts it on like the low scale of a Stormlight book, like a Dawn Shard area. Okay. We kind of just talked about this, but I'm going to explore the idea further. I feel like I'm in with the characters, and because of that, I feel like Mistborn Era 2, especially compared to Mistborn Era 1, the characters are a lot more likable. They're a lot more like personable. I feel closer to Wax than I ever did to Vin, and especially Kelsier. I don't care about Kelsier. I still don't. I've read Mistborn Era 1 like 4 times. I don't care about Kelsier.
Shots fired.
So when he shows up in the end of Rhythm of War, I groaned as opposed to like was excited. I was not. I did not want to see this character come back. But anyway, but you know, if Wayne had showed up at the end of Rhythm of War, then woo, we'd be in for a ride. But I enjoy like the digestible size of a Mistborn Era 2 book. Like I know Mistborn Era 1 books aren't much longer, but they feel a lot longer. They feel like a drag compared to Mistborn Era 2 books, where, and I know on this podcast where like Elliot has coined the phrase, the longer the book, the better. Like we want more detail, more background. But I feel like Mistborn Era 1, especially like the Well of Ascension and even the Final Empire, and even the Hero of Ages, they get caught up in the details in Mistborn Era 1. And I feel like learning about Mistborn Era 2 as we're running is actually really cool, and I really like that. What do you guys think?
So I do agree with you that I think I've been doing my best. It is a change of pace. The size of these books, the pacing of these books is a bit different from what we're used to. I would say I'm used to Stormlight now. I'm used to Stormlight books. And this is different. I've enjoyed the shorter form, but it's difficult because I find myself holding out for the big Stormlight book levels of payoff. And I think that's put me in a weird dilemma where the rating, you know, I feel like I've had to tweak it because honestly, just being completely transparent, this has been my, I think Era 2 has been my least favorite of the Cosmere areas that we've looked at. So far it has not been my favorite. I think a lot of that is personal preference. And I think a decent bit of that is I haven't felt a major amount of payoff, I feel like. And that I'm holding out on that part because we're halfway through, you know. Mistborn Era 1 is probably unique because we talked about Brandon's, you know, the progression as an author. It's an early book. The first book kind of had to have the payoff and the reward for the reader right there out of the gate, right? With the Lord Ruler, that whole storyline, if you will, that arc coming to a close. I feel like this hasn't had that, so I feel like I haven't had as much of that, like, you know, that incredible end of the book high, I guess. That hasn't happened for me so far. But like I said, I think I need to kind of hold off on that, because if the series goes incredibly well, you know, that can all be put into perspective. But I will say that those are just, I guess, my honest thoughts about it thus far. I do think I've enjoyed Era 1 more, but I do kind of agree, especially Will of Ascension feels more like a slow approach. There's some really cool moments with Zane and other things. The ending is really good, but it does feel slow. But this has been a quicker pace, so it's a little harder for me to, I guess, compare them a little bit. But yeah,
I think so far, Era 2, these first two books, I think they are hitting a sweet spot. They feel different than anything else we've read, Cosmere, like in a good way. It's a fresh take on the Cosmere, and it works well. It's not pretending to be more than it is. It's a shorter form. It's a more, I'm starting to repeat myself, but fast and loose style. But it works in a lot of ways. It's not quite in the category of a Stormlight, but for what it's trying to be, it absolutely is. And I'm enjoying it. I'm enjoying it.
I don't know how this will play into your expectations moving forwards, but both the Bands of Mourning and the Lost Metal are 50% longer than Shadows of Self. We are not halfway through the series, even though we're 2 out of 4 books. So
yeah.
Read into that what you will. So yeah. Length of book is increasing here.
I do want to briefly add, my apologies. I want to briefly add that makes sense of this book. I'm thinking of it as a second book, but I think it functions more as the first book of a trilogy, right? So I need to think of it more in the setup sense. As we're setting up, we're really setting the stage for a lot of events that are incoming in the future. And so I have to give some grace that.
Perhaps echoing some events of the Final Empire, as we discussed last week.
I do like that thought, Paul, of maybe thinking about these two books really as one, because I think that would have corrected a few expectations I had that were rather surprisingly not met, not in like a quality level, but more in a, you know, what type of content I was looking for. Specifically, I would say shocked at the fact that we've now read two books and our main villain that was set up in Wax's uncle barely features. Wax's betrothed, no more than 10 lines over the course of 700 pages. Like these major, what I was fully expecting to become huge players in these stories hardly even play a role. And the fact that I was thinking about it as two books maybe makes that surprising. If it was one, I think that makes more sense of if these two books combined are setting the stage. Okay, book three can then get us into who is Steris, who is Edwarn Ladrian, who are the Set. It makes more sense to me now.
I don't know if you can really tell on camera, but there's a drastic difference between the width of these books here. Also, just, I know we're not talking about this book, but the cover for the Bands of Mourning on this edition is so good. I know it's hard to tell, but he's like jumping over a cliff with waterfalls on it. It's really cool. Anyway, you talked about Steris, Elliot. And at the end of last book, you guys were both like, okay, this was Marcy getting to know Marcy book, so next book we'll get to know Steris, surely. Okay, here we are. We had exactly as much content in book two as in book one for Asterius. So surely book three is Asterius's book, right?
Surely?
Surely, right?
I guess, I don't know. I'm trying to think too far ahead on this. I'm like, maybe it's setting up Mercy more because Asterius is the betrothed on paper, so you have to have a good case for Mercy in this little love triangle thing, if that's what we're going with. I don't know. But yeah, I mean, he ends the book alongside Asterius, so that's something. That is something. True. So that is something. That is something. So that's about all we have. Yeah, quite literally nothing else I could even remember. Well,
I feel like specifically the love triangle, Elliot, at the end of last book, you said love triangle question mark, like that was a question you had moving forwards. I don't think we've touched it, like either Mercy or Asterius, like as far as a love interest goes, like in book two, I don't think that was touched at all. We were more focused on Lessie.
Yep. And Paul, you said that book two here ends on Asterius. Well, book one did too. Wax saves Asterius. Book ends, and book two arrives. We see her briefly in the feast party thing they go to, and then she never shows up again for the rest of the book until the end, where Wax can cry on her shoulder. I don't know what to expect. I absolutely want to say Asterius has to become a more major feature in these stories, but maybe Asterius is the dark sphere of Mistborn.
Mentioned in the beginning and not touched again until the fourth book.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Got to reference our anti-Stormlight whenever we can. Actually, that's anti-Void Light. All right. Favorite characters, gentlemen. I'm going to go last.
I'll go first on this. Wayne is actually, I think, my favorite character. I had to think about this for a minute. And honestly, I mean, maybe it's cliche. Maybe this is basic. But Wax and Wayne, I think, are my two favorite characters from this story. Wayne has really delivered for me as the comedy relief, you know, the comedic relief character. But really, that alone is not why he's my favorite. It's that, and there's been several nods, and not just nods, and deliberate displays of Wayne being a bit more complex, a bit more than just comic relief, right? Like, there's the whole situation with him giving back to trying to take care of this family, right? It's a weird dynamic, but that whole thing. And there's other allusions with an A, allusions to just things in his past that I feel like we're going to learn more about. And that kind of mystery, along with him just being a fun character, kind of is why I'd say he's my favorite. My honorable mention is Wax, because I think he's a good protagonist. I think he's a good protagonist, which is really cool. Like, I like the style of Wax. I like how he operates. I like how he's written and everything. It's all good. I don't have any fault toward Wax. And so, like, on paper, the protagonist, you know, I feel like should be the favorite character. But Wayne's got that flair, you know.
Wax is also an honorable mention for me. I think he's a great main character, in that he's just honestly trying to do the right thing. He wants to help people. He wants to serve. He wants to find his place in the universe and fulfill his purpose. But man, the cards are stacked against him, and he just has to constantly battle uphill, and that, I think, is a very... you want to root for him. You want to root for Wax, and I like that a lot. But I think my favorite character actually through these first two books has actually been Mercy, which I'm surprised to hear myself say, I think, by the end of book two and at the end of book one, I had a lot of question marks around Mercy of where are we going with the kind of awkward introvert who's starstruck by Wax and isn't sure about her place. I think we've seen the most development in her over these two books, and it's been really interesting to read about and to watch. And whereas maybe you're actively cheering for Wax and Wayne more often, I'm much more interested in the contributions from Marcy, actually. So I think she sneaks into favorite.
Sounds good. Wax is also my honorable mention. So he's 3 for 3 for second best. Mine is Constable Aradel, simply because he's the Damu of Mistborn Era 2. He's the soldier guy who's just trying to do the best he can with what's presented to him. And there's something about that type of character that just hits for me. He's presented with this conundrum at the end of Shadows of Self, and I feel like he really shines at the end of the book. Arrests the governor and does the right thing. And I think Aradel's really cool.
This feels similar to me to when Damu is your favorite character in Era 1.
Mm-hmm.
Like, hold on, wait, which character is this again? Can you remind me? You know, no, it's not that cool. He's cool. I can agree with this, but I thought that was a very Trevor answer.
And so now we know that Aradel is going to show up in Stormlight Era 2, correct?
Yes.
Like, that's now confirmed?
Yes, I think so.
Yeah. All righty. Do you guys have any favorite quotes that you would like to read? I don't, because I've kind of read them over the last two episodes. Like, I've read quite a few quotes. So I'm going to... All the quotes that, like, really hit for me, I've already read, so I won't read them again. But do you guys have anything that you want to throw in here?
I have two quotes for this that stood out to me. I have to really try to make a note while I'm listening, whenever I hear something that sticks out to me or makes me think, to like try and write down what chapter it is and then go find, you know, search it up, since I don't necessarily have the book in front of me. But my quotes are these aren't, I would say, like the life-changing quotes, but just some ones that made me think that I thought were neat. So one is from the Wax flashback chapter, and I don't have page numbers for this. My apologies. And this is Wax talking with his father, I believe, about value. And he says...
His uncle.
He's told... Yes. Sorry, with who?
His uncle?
Yes, that's right. My apologies. With his uncle. When Wax is told, money is meaningless, Waxillium perked up. What? Only expectation has value as currency, Waxillium, Uncle Edwarn said. This coin is worth more than the others because people think it is. They expect it to be. The most important things in the world are worth only what people will pay for them. If you can raise someone's expectation, if you can make them need something, that is the source of wealth. Owning things of value is secondary to creating things of value where none once existed. Like I said, this isn't necessarily a life-changing quote for me, but it was really inquisitive, and I appreciated it. And my second
super quick, actually, I had a thought as you were reading that quote. That seems like a very Shallan-esque concept.
Well, do you guys know the derivative of, or the, no, that would, it would be the derivative. Do you know the origin, like the Earth quote equivalent? So that is a reference to a Roman, like, I don't remember what it's called, but it's from the papers of Sirius Publius, in which I just looked this up. The quote is, depend not on fortune, but on conduct. Everything is worth what its purchaser will pay for it. How unhappy is he who cannot forgive himself if you refuse where you have always granted you invite to theft. It's like a Roman parable or
proverb, if you will.
Yeah, yes. There you go. So that's the origin of that quote. that's going to be the Scadrial equivalent.
I'm very impressed that you pulled that out of a hat there, Trevor. That was good.
Do you want to know how I knew that?
Sure.
The way I knew this is so nerdy. Civilization. Sid Meier's Civilization, when you earn the currency thing, they read that quote. And that's where I recognized it from, so I looked it up.
That's a good way to learn. That's a good little geography and history lesson there.
There you go. Incredible.
Okay, my second quote totally ruins any serious train of thought. It's just a quote from Wayne saying, "I ain't drunk," Wayne said, sniffling. "I'm investigating alternative states of sobriety," which I thought was funny.
That was a good one. All right, Elliot, do you have any favorite quotes?
I grabbed two. So far, Era 2 hasn't been super quotable for me, although I did grab a few. They're both from Alloy of Law. Interesting. I didn't actually grab any huge earth-shattering quotes out of Shadows of Self, but in Alloy of Law, there's two different conversations between Wax and Maracy, and I'm going to read two different quotes from the two conversations. This is Wax. "Alloys are remarkable things, Lady Maracy. Did you realize you can make an alloy with a metal that reacts to magnetism but end up with one that doesn't? Mix it with an equal part of something else, and you don't get something that's half as magnetically reactive. You get something that's not reactive at all. When you make an alloy, you don't just mix two metals. You make a new one. That's a fundamental of allomancy, you see. Steel is just iron with a pinch of carbon in it, but that makes all the difference. This aluminum has something else in it too, less than 1%. I think it might be echaboron, but that's really just a hunch. A little pinch. It works for men too, oddly. A tiny change can result in creating an entirely new person. How like metals we are." And there's some of the like metallurgy in there that I love, but the punch is the end part there of this similarity between alloys of metal and humans. Really intriguing.
I don't know if I've heard a more Eliot quote than comparing elements on the periodic table to people and how profound that could be. That says Eliot so well.
It's yep. True.
Yeah. You're not wrong. Absolutely. You're not wrong. My second one comes much later in the book, but Wax and Maracy are talking again. Kind of jump in the middle of the conversation here, but it's Wax again. "You are inexperienced. So was I once. So is every man. The measure of a person is not how much they have lived. It is not how easily they jump at a noise or how quick they are to show emotion. It is how they make use of what life has shown them."
Gandalf, is that you?
Right? It makes you pause and think. Although, in classic Mistborn Era 2 fashion, the very next line is Maracy responding with, "I'm also thinking that you like to lecture."
All right. To finish off this episode, as far as titles go, we are halfway through Mistborn Era 2. We have Bands of Mourning and The Lost Metal. What are your guys' foresight, expectations, and predictions? Let's start with the Bands of Mourning, and then we can go for all of Era 2 after that. Anything for specifically the Bands of Mourning that we will see or not see, or what are you expecting? What are you hoping for? Paul, you said you've been a little bit disappointed by Mistborn Era 2. Is there anything that you would hope to change within the format that we have that would make it better for you?
I think that there are definitely several things. I think number one is kind of the presence of a major villain, I guess. It feels like I need it. Like Elliot said, I actually really like this. I think I need to think about the two books that we've read so far as the first book. Okay. I think that's how I should think of it. To me, it's felt like little villain set up, little villain falls down. And then Bleeder is maybe more than little, but not big. Big in its impact on Wax, our protagonist. So I would like to zoom out. I would like to see our villain. I'm assuming there's going to be a villain. And I would like to see who that is and get a picture now. Because I think if it's just set up in the last book and then falls down in the last book, I don't think that will really carry a ton of payoff for me. So I think that's probably the number one thing. I think the overall synopsis is getting a clear direction of where our characters are going to be heading and I guess where the story is heading. You mentioned that sometimes it feels like this book, reading it, feels almost like we're running in circles. That's really accurate to how I'm feeling. I feel like we've just been running in circles, doing our silly little tasks, and then, trying to make something of it. So I feel like I'm wanting a more clear picture. I will say, as an aside, that may be totally switched once I get this full picture. If I were to reread this series, I may love it way more, kind of having the full picture. But I think on a first-time read, I'm struggling a bit with understanding the picture and getting really invested in it so far. So those are some of the things I feel like I would look for. Of course, I'm excited for more zoomed out Cosmere implications, but that's not a requirement. I don't need that. We can have a zoomed in story and that's wonderful. I do happen to know I was at the release for The Lost Metal. I don't know any spoilers, but I do know it's allegedly the most crossover in a Sanderson book at that time. So I'm expecting that there's going to be some neat Cosmere stuff. And I'm excited for that. I'm not expecting anything crazy for Bands of Mourning, but if we're predicting Bands of Mourning and The Lost Metal, I think we're going to get some big Hoid reveals. I think we're going to get some, I don't know, maybe we'll see a dragon or something by the end of it. I don't know. I don't actually think that will happen, but that'd be cool. So
still, yeah. Suspicious lack of dragons for his company yes. being named Dragonsteel.
No, that's so true. Absolutely true. I think we will get much more clarification on our further medals. There's been a lot, Elliot may have to pull his spreadsheet back out because I don't remember if we've seen them all or what. But I know in this, we've definitely seen some new ones. Our whole speed, slow metal stuff and all sorts of things. And so I'm hoping that we'll get more information about that. I also think, throwing out another one, I think we're going to see a Mistborn of some kind. Don't know who or where or when, but before the end of the entire series.
Marsh doesn't count. You're disqualifying Marsh.
Correct. Yeah, I think it's like an elemantic, not a hemallergic Mistborn.
Okay.
That could truly be obsolete, but we've been guessing that, there's no Mistborn, And I'm not buying it right now. So,
fair enough. All right, Elliot. Just as far as Mistborn Air 2 is going, is there anything need course correction for you to really enjoy it? Anything that you're really expecting for Bands of Mourning, hoping for, etc.?
No course correction needed. That's definitely not how I would phrase it. I think Era 2 is hitting exactly what I expected it to be, and it's doing it well. So if it continues to do that, I'll be perfectly happy. If our thicker books that we're going into do dive into lore more, or like Paul was saying, zoom out to more higher cosmic level, I will not complain at all. That's more up my alley. So I'd be even more happy with the books that we're getting probably. I'm very intrigued to see if we're gonna go further into the theological themes we've seen so far. Kind of this question of free will and how involved should a god be?
Mm.
Is that going to be a question we keep coming back to as we maybe start to see harmony come into the picture even more, or see another god step on the stage? You know, those types of questions. I don't necessarily want to say I hope that will happen, because I wouldn't be super disappointed if we didn't, but I would love to see the story go that way. My other thing I think I do want to see is a hope. The magic system on Scadrial. I am still a little bit at a loss for what does that mean for stories elsewhere in the Cosmere. I'd love to see our story get more Cosmere level, specifically about the magic system and the shards. What can I take away from these stories that going into Stormlight 5 is going to be important information? Like those kinds of questions I'd love to see us explore. I fully expect that would be a like second half of book 4 question. But other than that, I think it's just more Steris, more Hoid. Where's that dude? More Iron Eyes. He just pops in for a second and then he's just chilling. I totally imagine Marsh just over there like popping popcorn as he's watching all this stuff going like, oh, okay, yeah, that took him a while to take down Bleeder. Oh, yeah. Yep, interesting. Okay, yep. Ah, good luck with that one. Like, we talk about should Harmony get involved. What about Marsh? Should Marsh get involved? Where's he at?
Hashtag Marsh did nothing wrong.
Oh, I want to add one little thing, because I think it goes kind of hand in hand with what Elliot was saying. I would really like more an answer to the Harmony good or bad ambiguity that we have at the end of this book, at the end of Shadows of Self. I really, really appreciate the letter that you read, Trevor. I think that was in a previous episode.
Mm-hmm.
Between Hoid, from Harmony to Hoid in response. Really clarified a lot of his situation and his dilemma.
Right.
Which is very helpful. But that's in Rhythm of War. That's an interlude. That's an epigraph, if you will, where that's included. And so I want to see some direct answers here. I want to see Harmony and Wax talk. I want to see clarification here. So I'm curious about that.
Sounds good. Anything else, gentlemen, for our wrap-up for the first two books?
I think these books have done what they needed to do, which was get me intrigued, get me interested, and I'm looking forward to reading more.
I'm also really excited to read more. I'm excited to dive further in. Like I said, I want to end saying, while I'm saying this has not been my favorite Sanderson series, it's been maybe my least favorite, that does not mean that I've discounted it, and I'm holding out full reserved hope that this is going to be a fantastic series and I'm going to absolutely love it, because I fully trust Sanderson. He's a fantastic author, so I'm eager, I'm very excited to continue reading, because I think the further in we go, the it's only going to get better.
Close it with this. Elliot, you said at the beginning of this episode that you were impressed with the character writing that you've seen in these first two books. As Sanderson has the later the publication date on a Sanderson book, I think the vastly improved character writing that he has. With that said, I am very excited for you guys to finish this series and then read the two secret projects, specifically Sunlit Man. I'm very excited for you guys to get to Sunlit Man later this year with the improved character writing. So with that said, we can reconvene next week. Next week, we're going to have some special itinerary for our episode 200. I'm going to keep it a little bit of a secret, so you can tune in for our episode 200. And then right after that, for 201, we will be right into the Bands of Mourning. So thanks for joining me, Paul and Elliot. See you next week.
Bye now.
Toodles.